From the slums of Shaolin, Wu-Tang Clan strikes again. The RZA, the Jizza, old dirty bastard, Inspector Deck, Raekwon the Chef, you guard, Ghostface Killer, and the Method.
M-E-T-H-O-D, man, M-E-T-H-O-D, man, M-E-T-H-O-D, man, M-E-T-H-O-D.
Hey, what's up? Welcome to Musically Meditated Podcast. I'm your host, Joe Riley. We're really happy. This is our first Wu-Tang Clan episode. We've talked about Wu-Tang many times in a lot of the past episodes, but I wanted to make it right, and I brought the best person in the house tonight into Green Door Studios, Green Door Network. Sreten co-host is here with us as well. What's up, Sreten?
What's going on, guys?
But I am here with a dear friend of mine. I've known him since childhood, Comer Watkins. What's up, Comer?
Hey, what's going on, people, man? It's good to be here. It's good to see you guys doing good things, man. This is awesome.
Thank you, man. First and foremost, Comer's been showing a lot of love for the podcast as of late, and he made us this really cool paperweight on steroids, right? Is that what we're calling it?
Yeah, that's
and
awesome.
This is all stainless steel right here, Comer. Yeah, present it to the camera. Give us a little feedback or a little storyline with this badass thing right there.
Well, I heard of podcasts and stuff like that, and when I heard you was doing one, I thought it was a great thing. And when I heard you was doing it about music, I knew you was a big Wu-Tang fan too. So this is just a little thing for you, man. Just for the studios, man. I think it's all right.
Well, thank you. Sreten really loved it too.
It's awesome. It's very heavy.
It is heavy. That thing isn't light.
That's a 3/8 stainless steel, son.
Right. Nobody come in here and take it and scrap it. We will find you. We will hunt you down. Right?
I will personally.
He will personally hunt you down.
Probably can't run too fast with that thing in your arms.
What's that thing?
The thing. It's heavy.
Oh, yeah, it is heavy. Yeah. It's heavy. You better be doing a lot of curls.
Oh, yeah. That's
curls
that's,
for the girls.
It probably weighs as much as Ghostface Killer's, eagle.
Yeah, remember those old eagles? Yeah, oh, God.
That wristband he had, that eagle, man, it's probably like 13 pounds of gold right there.
I know, he doesn't even, does he rock that anymore? I don't know.
I don't know if he does, man. That's one strong dude.
Strong dude. But Comer, a little backtrack on you personally. I know you've been a Wu-Tang fan forever, but tell me a little bit about Mayhem real quick.
Mayhem, I'm the treasurer for Mayhem. It's a motorcycle club. It's just a bunch of brothers and sisters. We ride together, hang out together, and, we try to do good for the community. We are a support club for Sin City Disciples. And, I love each and every one of you. If you're listening, shout outs to you guys.
Yeah, shout out to Mayhem. Anything in the future for any Mayhem fundraisers? I know there was a few things in the past that you guys, you've done.
I was at work, and they did a fundraiser with Becca, which is Bikers Against Child Abuse, and they raised $2,500. Much respect to you, Becca. Thank you, and much appreciated.
Okay, cool. And now let's move on. So what we're going to do on this particular episode is we're going to break down each member and share experience and our opinion on each member of Wu-Tang Clan, and then we're going to go into our own personal stories of Wu-Tang Clan and how it's affected us in our life and, in our past, present, and future. And what I'm going to do right away is start off with the RZA, and we're going to go through that introduction like it was presented in the beginning, because there was always like this really cool, ODB always did it, GZA did it in that introduction, but a way they always broke it down. So we're going to start off with the Abbot, the RZA. He has very many different aliases. He's been known to be called RZA Prince Rakim, the RZA Recta, Bobby Steels, or Stills. The Rula Zigzag Zigala, Prince Delight, the Abbot, and Bobby Digital. So he has very, very many different aliases. So shout out to the RZA. He's 49. He's from Brooklyn. He was born in Brooklyn, came from Staten Island. The RZA is also known for his awesome production. He's been with the Wu-Tang Clan, obviously. What's the other one? Gravediggers.
He's done a lot with the Killer Bees, dude's just a genius.
He's a genius. He was born Robert Fitzgerald Diggs in 1969. The start of Wu-Tang Clan started with the RZA and the GZA and Old Dirty Bastard. They're all cousins, and they started in a group called All In Together Now, if people didn't know that. And there's a lot of cool old school YouTube footage. So people should go back and check that out.
You know? you got to do your research, man. You know, I mean, especially on a group that made a huge impact on hip hop. You know, because growing up, you had your conscious rap, you know, KRS-One, so on and so forth, Rakim, Eric B, and then you had your East Coast cats like N.W.A. So it was, I mean, to me personally, it was conscious rap and gangster rap. You know, and we're from the Midwest, so, you know, we have our Bone Thugs and Harmony, you know.
Do or Die,
you know, cats from Chicago, Garyland, you know, the Gary area, you know, I mean.
But the Wu, they had this crazy East Coast slang. They were all 5 percenters from the 5% Nation.
Yes.
And that's a whole other thing in itself. And it's really interesting to dig into that. We won't get into that now just because it would be a whole other podcast. But when they refer to each other as God, you know, and
God and the woman Earth.
Yeah. Yeah.
And your child is your seed.
And your seed. Yeah. I mean, they taught me a lot when I was younger, but when I was so young, I really didn't know the hell they were talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
It took me a while to get it when I was in like my late teens, early 20s. But back to the RZA real quick. For me personally, he is my favorite Wu-Tang member. He has taught me a lot about life. He has taught me a lot about being a man that wants to set your goals, go out and achieve them. I mean, here's a guy who started, you know, in his basement making beats on the cheapest gear possible, that went out and set this plan to bring all the best MCs from the five boroughs together to create a Wu-Tang Clan based on his obsession with karate movies, which is just kind of bizarre.
Oh, yeah.
And then he was the first guy to go out and get them all of their own record deals as solo artists. So he's a pioneer in hip hop. I love his production and just like the way he approaches everything in his life. I mean, like I said, here's a guy that went from making beats in his basement in Staten Island that's producing the musical production and the whole soundtrack for Kill Bill. You know, I mean, that's just huge. Like, you know, just doing things with Quentin Tarantino.
I mean, he breaks it down in Can't Stop Me Now. He tells, you know, pretty much the origin of Wu-Tang, you know, and love that song. Just the beat, you know, the sample and the lyrics to go with it, man. RZA, you're the man.
He is the man. He really is. And he, like I said, he just, like, some of my favorite verses from him is from Impossible on Wu-Tang Forever. You know, just off the top of my head, and a lot of his earlier stuff, like on GZA's solo album, like all of his verses were on fire. Wu Forever, the double disc album. Like, I think that was RZA at his best, you know, like just with his flows.
Well, yeah, I mean, you see these cats, you know, from 36 Chambers, and then from there they just grew from their solo LPs,
right,
and solo albums. You know, you just see how much these cats grew, you know the intelligence, the lyrics. You know, I mean, it's like these guys walk around with dictionaries and thesauruses. You know, it's just amazing when you listen to these guys, you know, just speak, period.
I have two questions as far as like your guys' Wu-Tang knowledge. Because I was into the Wu-Tang when 36 Chambers came out, but I was always a casual fan. And I never was like a huge fan because I didn't like that New York, that East Coast beat sound.
That's the RZA.
I looked it up today. That's my one question. Okay. Well, actually, the two questions was, the first question is, did he single-handedly start that sound?
Yes.
Which I read was like, what do they call it, lo-fi something?
Yeah, it's a lo-fi sound.
Yeah.
So there was like no other beat makers around or producers doing that.
No.
So that's he single-handedly RZA. Started the whole thing.
That is Wu-Tang. Yeah, I mean, there was other rappers that kind of did it, but not like...
But not like this, man. This was just like an atomic bomb that dropped on hip hop, man, and it just took over.
I talked about this before, you know, like especially in the 90s, you had like Biggie and Puffy that had that glamour and the glitz, and I love them, you know, but then they had like the R&B hooks and whatnot, and you had all this shit like from the past, no disrespect, that was kind of street conscience, but like that boom bap sound. But the Wu-Tang was straight from the streets, and you could hear it like from the slang, and like we talked about the 5% Nation to the grittiness of RZA's beats. And like that is just like its own thing. And that's what stuck out to me as a kid. It's like, I, you know, being a white dude, like I didn't know anything about that growing up, you know, like, and it was like, whoa, what is this? Like, it was kind of like the same fear maybe, or the same, I don't know, just impression like NWA and Easy and all they made on me. Like Wu was like the gritty New York shit, you know, like with Mary J. Blige and Method with that particular single. You know, he had like the crazy fake eye and the cross eye, you
There's a little story I want to bring up later about that song.
Okay, but, we'll get in there. We'll get in there.
I love that song.
But let's focus a little bit more on the RZA. Me personally, his solo shit, Bobby Digital. I was absolutely obsessed with Digital Bullet.
This came out
it was the summer of like 02, like all the way to the summer 03. I listened to Wu-Tang Forever all the time and all the Bobby Digital shit. Okay, all the Bobby Digital stuff. And we were just obsessed with it, like me and my particular crew. And this was like early college. I was going to IUN and Gary, but we would go down to Bloomington. And it was like Doug Meyer, shout out, Jimmy Bolovich, Mike Paris, rest in peace, Ricky Potney. I mean, I could go on and on, but we were just bumping that heavy. And like the whole Bobby Digital, like his other alias and his alter egos and how the Wu always did that. It was just like the craziest shit. Even Justin Wallace, shout out to Juice Pro Wrestling. He would always like, we would be hanging out. He'd be like, you know, like the Bobby Digital. Like that's what Wallace would just do to the top of his lungs, you know? So, you know, going back, thinking about the RZA and just everything that he brought to me, like at that particular time, I'm thankful for. And he just keeps progressing as like an artist and a producer. So I love the RZA. Total man crush. Total man crush for the RZA, dude. You know, so you got anything else about the RZA, Comer?
Man, the RZA, man. You are like the splinter of the turtles. You know, you know what I mean?
I like that.
I mean, I was watching this little documentary. It was like a 10-minute documentary. And it talked about his 5-year plan. How he took his 3 cousins, added 6 more people, you know, and how you told these men to go on different record labels to stamp the Wu-Tang W on different record labels. Yeah. I mean, that's genius.
That was my second question. I didn't know that, and I did a little research the last couple of days, and when I found out that he actually had a 5-year plan. And that the first album,
he's
like 36 Chambers.
He's the Abbott.
I mean, come on, man.
Well, the 36 Chambers was not a success. It took a few years, but he had a vision. He had a 5-year vision, and he told those guys exactly what to do. Yeah. And they all splintered off, and none of them were on the same record label. Like, that's like a chess master.
It is. It's never been done. Like, that was huge. Like, to bring that, like, I know it was all like alpha male confidence. I brought the best MCs from these particular boroughs. We're going to come together, but then I'm going to set everything up for them on their own, you know, avenue.
And look at the success these guys have. I mean, Ghostface, come on, man. I mean,
yeah, we'll get to Ghost, man. But yeah, I mean, just like you said, that five-year plan, like, we all have big hopes and aspirations and dreams, but you got to stick to that plan, right? And like the RZA, stuck to it.
And look at you now, man. I mean, Jesus, you're global.
He is global.
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 I mean, you can't go anywhere without noticing the W.
Right.
I mean, where can you go?
It's one of the most iconic, like, you know, just symbols in all music, especially hip-hop.
Oh yeah,
there's no other symbol that's bigger than that. I know DJ Mathematics is the one that came up with that, like their main DJ on tour.
Yeah,
he's the one that actually came up with that dub. But at any rate, it's the jizz's thing, or not the jizz, I'm sorry, the RZA. I was just looking over here, but yeah, shout out to the RZA. Everything that he's done thus far is, you know, I'm just envious and I respect it and try to, you know, just apply it in all day life. You know, that dude was talking about meditation and being a vegan and not eating animals, like, you know, 20 years ago, like just way ahead of his time, you know, like just all of that, just supreme knowledge. And I don't know, like, just, it means more now because I could actually comprehend it. But like when you're listening to it as a young kid, like, what? Yeah. But thankful, I'm thankful for the RZA for sure. Now we'll move on to the GZA. We could probably talk about the RZA for a whole episode, but we'll move on to the Genius. Little background on him. He was the first one to actually come out with his own solo album, and that shit.
And that album right there, you know,
Liquid Swords.
Shogun Assassins, or if you look at the actual series, it's called Lone Wolf and Cub. You know, it's a martial arts, but Shogun Assassins, man, it you know, probably one of the bloodiest martial arts movies I've ever seen, and he uses a lot of samples on that album and,
from, you know, that movie.
Yeah, the introduction.
Oh, okay,
from the introduction to the outro, you know, it was Shogun Assassins. And, you know, and like I said, that was one of my personal favorite movies. And the way he just...
Like you said, he's just like a walking book of... he's like a walking brain of a thesaurus or a dictionary.
Yeah, man.
It just his flow, like he is the genius.
This guy is... Man, it's like this guy has like a Harvard brain, you know what I mean? I mean, he's a walking...
He speaks at Harvard.
Yeah.
That's no bullshit. Like, you can look on YouTube, he speaks at a lot of different...
I mean,
Ivy Leagues, you know, I mean, genius.
Even if you check out Netflix, he has that little series, Liquid Swords. You know, he talks about all kinds of stuff. This man is a literal genius.
The Liquid Swords album, if I have to say, Comer, you could say, nah, you're crazy, Joe, but that is the best Wu-Tang solo member album.
Lyrically?
Oh, and the production, because it's all RZA. It's that dirty stuff, that like that dirty, grimy, awesome RZA production.
Like Wu-Tang Clan, period. That like popped my cherry to hip hop. You know, like a new branch of hip hop. You know, that, you know, the first time I seen him was on Yo MTV Raps, Protect Your Neck. And then I was like, man, this is crazy ridiculous. I love it. And then they came up with the video, Cream, Cash Was Everything Around Me. I heard that, man. It's like I melted in my seats.
Yeah.
You know, that was my childhood. Right. That was my upbringing.
Right.
You know, and I remember I told my mother, I was like, Mom, can you buy me this album? And she was like, no, you need to work for it. Go out and mow some lawns. So that's what I did.
And that's how you got that album?
Oh, yeah. She took me to the store to pick it up and everything, man.
That's awesome.
You know?
That's
went
awesome.
Out mowed some lawns, did this, did that. Right. You know, I picked up 36 Chambers.
Right on.
That was, you know, after I heard Protect Your Neck and Cash Rules. You know, and yeah, man, it was
life changing,
dude. Yeah, a breath of fresh air. You know, is that like, because, you know, like I said, growing up was you had the gangster rap and you had the conscious rap.
Right.
And these guys come up with something totally brand new.
Yeah, the GZA is conscious rap. I mean, lyrically, I could be wrong. It's a bold statement, but the GZA, out of all Wu-Tang, like, he drops science, he drops English, he drops everything. Like, you know,
such a brilliant
mind. And here's a little backtrack, like, on the GZA. I got to see him 2 years ago at Riot Fest. And the shtick on that was he did all Liquid Swords by himself. Okay, so when I say that, there was all the other members on certain particular songs, but he did their flows, and then he threw in other stuff. But he didn't stop. Like, it was a full hip-hop set for, like, 45 minutes, you know, like, to 50, maybe an hour, but, you know, somewhere in that time frame, and he didn't stop. He just kept going. Like, there's not another MC, I don't think, that could do that. Like, I think there was one time, like, he smiled and he started cheesing, like, he forgot a line, but it's like, whatever. Like,
so focused.
You're the genius. He's like, I like how Wu-Tang always broke it down, especially Method Man. He's like, Wu-Tang forms like Voltron, and GZA is the head of Voltron. He's the genius. If it wasn't for the GZA and his lyricism, this is the way I'm personally breaking it down, there would be no Wu-Tang. So Wu-Tang forms like Voltron, and GZA is the head. That's the best way to describe him.
Yeah, I mean,
honored to meet that man.
This man's intelligence is crazy. You know what I mean?
It is. It is, man. Some little backtrack with Liquid Swords. Let me see here. It peaked at number 9 on the Billboard Top 200 chart at number 2, and on October 8th, 2015, they announced that the album had earned a platinum certification. So that means it served, or it sold over 100 million or 1 million copies. It became the first Wu-Tang related album to ever get certified gold with Method Man and Ghostface both on the plaque. In addition, it started their first directed videos by the RZA. Interesting. But yeah, shout out to the GZA. He's the genius. I'd really like to meet the dude. Man, I'm glad I got to see him live.
I'd be starstruck if I ever, you know, walked up and shook his hand. I'd be starstruck.
All right. Okay. We'll transition now to ODB. So remember, RZA, GZA, and ODB are all cousins. A little backtrack on ODB, Old Dirty Bastard, Big Baby Jesus. What are some of his other aliases? Do you remember?
Man, this dude had so many aliases, and this man was so hood. I loved the way this man, how hood this man was. He just didn't care.
He didn't care.
You know, he was
cashing those. Remember on MTV,
the welfare checks,
on national television.
Oh man. Big ups to you. Rest in peace. God rest your soul.
He's one of those like lightning in a bottle. Every so often, and it's not often, you'll capture just this certain human being that just brings this charisma and just brings, like, you know, humor, seriousness, and just punk. Like, he's like a punk rock ethos.
Exactly.
You know, like he is. And like,
I mean, if you listen to Return to the 36 Chambers, man, you know, his first solo album, I mean, it was Old Dirty Bastard. You know, I mean, it just explains this man's name.
It was
rugged. It was dirty. And you know this man's a bastard. Man, God rest your soul. I love you.
God rest his soul. Not to talk bad, but I remember I've read a few things. Like, it took a long time either for that album to come out or his second solo release. And the GZA had a lot to do with writing it. But he just liked to party so much, and like, he just didn't care. And then, like, the RZA had to keep paying like advances and shit because he just,
wait, man,
he was older, you bastard. Just, like, sometimes he just partied, man.
Yeah, man. Sometimes you just gotta live up to your name, man. God rest your soul. Once again,
right on. He's the Brooklyn King, you know. Like, he is the king of Brooklyn. I know. What you would call it? Biggie always claims to be. And a lot of people say he is the king of Brooklyn, but I always favor ODB.
Yeah.
And there was this cool thing I watched. Inspect the Deck was on Vlad TV, and he's like, I'll never forget this story. It was ODB versus another MC. I can't remember right now. He kind of had like the same gimmick as him, and ODB Inspect the Deck watched them literally fist fight for the mic, and then like they went to the ground and like they went at it. You know, like this is like. When, like, MCing, like, in New York was that hungry.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it was the alcoholics, maybe, like, you could put it in the mouth. Like, guy he was going against. Like, remember that song back in the day?
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, they literally, like, scrapped for it, like, fought for the microphone, and then they, like, went on the ground, and ODB, like, got it, and just, you know, just crazy stories. He's just a crazy, crazy individual. Like, older YouTube videos, too. Did you ever see the one where he was really drunk, like, on Yo MTV Raps? Like, it's just intense.
Yeah,
it's
intense. I mean, besides all that, man, ODB, God, it's hard to explain this man because he was all fun, you know, in all his lyrics, he was all fun, but yet serious, you know what I mean?
he was just, like I said, just a rare breed. There'll never be another ODB, you know, just doing.
I mean, come on. You know, I'm a black Irish gypsy. You know, and on my black side, you know, and on my black side, my black folks out there, we all have that uncle. We all have that uncle.
Y'all have the ODB uncle.
Yeah, we all have that ODB uncle. The crazy drunk, partying, spitting knowledge kind of uncle. You know, and if you disagree with me, you disagree with me. I know I have a couple of them.
a couple ODB uncles. A couple
ODB uncles. Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, his first solo album, what was it? Enter the 36 Chambers? Return to 36
yes,
Chambers.
Yes.
They pressed a really cool vinyl of that, so it looks like his license.
His license, yeah.
Yeah, I remember your brother Boyan had it. He has it. We've talked about it before. So all those musically meditated fans out there, if you want to send it to us, Sretton, what's our address?
220 Main Street, Hobart, Indiana. I don't know. What's the zip code out here?
46342.
There you go.
Yeah, please send us that. Please send us that record. But we will move on to, actually, the Inspect the Deck, a.k.a. Noodles, a.k.a. Raleigh Fingers. You know what? Inspect the Deck was always the MC of the Wu-Tang Clan that opened up the track. And the best way to you know, remember that for everybody listening is Triumph, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
I know you probably know. Do you? I'm putting you on the spot. Do you know the verse?
I bomb atomically.
Socrates.
Socrates. Man, I mean, but you get the gist. You know,
get the gist.
I mean, it's been a while since I listened to Triumph, but
right on. No,
you know, I mean, we're working, man. You know, it's hard to sit back and listen to these great albums, but you know, if you hear Triumph, Inspect the Deck, he murdered that first verse on that album. Or that LP right there.
Yeah.
You know, it was just...
Deck was always the guy that set the bar. Like, I've read the Wu Manual written by the RZA, and he was like, you know, Inspect the Deck is the guy that I always knew had the sharp bars, but he would set the bar high.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to have to keep up with Deck because he's just the best one to spark off, you know, to just
cause he bumps
pull the trigger. Yeah,
you
exactly.
Know, just like the first... Two words of Triumph. I bomb atomically.
Yeah, I know.
You know, and that man, you know, the lyrics and the intelligence on this man too is remarkable.
He has a lot of cool interviews. His name's Jason Hunter. He's 48. He's from Brooklyn too. So sorry, Deck. I still like you know, Biggie and ODB. But at any rate, you know, he's in this group now called Czarface, and they're really dope. They just dropped an album this year. Like, half of it's MF Doom with Czarface. So it's MF Doom, Inspect the Deck, and Esoteric. Esoteric has a lot of stuff. I believe the group is called L7. And then he did a lot with Army of the Pharaohs, which is with Jedi Mind Tricks. Have you ever listened to Jedi Mind Tricks?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So they came together and they brought, you know, MF Doom. But I remember, like, reading 3 years ago, Inspect the Deck was like, I'm just going to focus on production. I'm not going to really worry about being an MC anymore. So after he said that, like, he just totally flipped the script, and he's doing all the Czarface stuff. And whenever he guests on another Wu-Tang member's, you know, album or record, he's still killing it. But I would say Ghostface is number one, like, relevant right now in all of his solo releases. And Deck is number two, man, because everything he's doing with Czarface and stuff, it brings back that that nostalgia factor of Wu-Tang.
Yeah.
That I miss in my life, you know.
It, you know, it just brings back, you know, childhood memories. And Ghostface, you know, it's like he stuck with it.
Right. Here's a quote by Method Man real quick. He goes, Inspect the Deck, he's like that dude that'll sit back and watch you play yourself. You know, and then he'll sit there knowing that you're lying, and then he'll take you to court after that because he's the inspector.
Exactly.
That's Inspector Deck. He is, though. Like, you can kind of, like, get that vibe from him in interviews and whatever. Like, he just kind of sits back. He's the member that sits back and just takes it in.
Yeah, one of the cool cats.
And then all of a sudden, you know, we'll just say Sretton's RZA, and he's going to start the beat. And we got one of the guys here at the Green Door that just doesn't say much, but he's just going to come out and set the bar. You know, that's Inspector Deck. He's the man.
And that's a pretty high bar.
It is a high bar. I know.
You better come with your game after that one.
You do. You have to. So I know there's another story, too. With RZA, he had a lot of different solo beats for a lot of different members, but certain ones came out first. You know, you had, like, Raekwon and GZA. Meth, especially, but he was working on a lot of stuff with Deck, but there was a flood. You know, this is, like, known amongst a lot of Wu-Tang heads. There was this flood, and it was RZA's studio, wherever it was in New York, and all of Inspect the Deck's shit got ruined. So, like, solo-wise, like, he never was able to take off like the rest. You know, he kind of got screwed because of that. So they say, you know, nothing personal, but like I mentioned earlier, he's doing well now. you know, like with Czarface and everything that's going on, like literally like right now, like 2018.
But the Wu-Tang Clan fans, you know, Inspector Deck just has them bars. And like you said earlier, you know, there's a high bar, you know, there's a high pole vote to cross.
Yeah. Yeah. Here you go. We're starting off with, I mean, it's hard to say who's the best member, but
I can't say who's the best.
Right. I mean, I can say who's my favorite, but
I can't even say who's my favorite.
No?
No, I cannot. Because it's like these cats have impacted my life, you know, from lyrics and life situations. You know, okay. I mean each lyric or each song or each album, you know, impacted my life one way or another, whether it was a past, present, or a possible future.
Okay. I feel you. Moving on now to Raekwon. And to digress just for a second, back to Inspector Deck. Cash rules everything around me. That's just Meth singing the hook. Inspector Deck does the first verse. Like I said, he always sets the bar. And then Raekwon is the second. What's your opinion on Raekwon? We're moving to Raekwon. Like, how do you feel about him?
Raekwon and Ghost together. You know, I mean, these two cats. But that's, you know, we're going to focus on Raekwon.
Yeah.
Man, I love you. I love you to death.
Man crush. Go ahead. But I mean, as an MC, what did he bring to the table for Wu-Tang? What do you think?
I mean, a lot of the lyrics.
Okay.
You know, just, I mean, his voice alone, you know, just like in Cash Rules, you know, if you hear his voice, you hear his intensity, you hear these lyrics that a lot of MCs have never heard before.
Criminology. That's what I'm thinking. He was like the most criminology rap influenced guy out of the group.
Yeah, yeah.
With that street grime and like the street slang. Because he was my least favorite when I first started listening to Wu.
Really?
Yeah, he was. I just didn't get it. I didn't get him. There was something about his voice I didn't like. Yada, yada. And then moving on, you know, like I would say like when I was 25 to 30, you know, somebody gave me Only Built for Cuban Links, and by God, like that's the one I'm bumping now. I always revisit that album because like you said, peanut butter and jelly, peas and carrots, that's Raekwon and Ghost.
Yeah.
You know, and that was kind of like a combination album. Yes, it's Raekwon's, but that's when Ghostface had his time to shine too, because his came after the fact. But Raekwon is criminology rap. Most hip-hop heads know that, and I would believe most hip-hop heads would agree with that, but he took that old-school Cool G rap element and brought it into Wu-Tang.
Yes, he did. Yeah, yeah. You know, just rugged and street. You know, that's what it was. But,
I mean,
you know,
he's just the man.
You know, the rhyme.
He's the chef. He's always cooking up marvelous shit.
Always cooking something up, man. You know, this
but
dude.
Literally, yeah, like he's always cooking up good ideas.
It's one of his nicknames.
Yeah, he's the chef. He's the chef. It's one of his aliases. Like, he's a really good cook. He's a really, like Ben says, he's always cooking up some marvelous shit. He's Lexi Diamonds. You know, he's always glossy. You know, he's always wearing like the fly shit.
Yeah.
Talking shit in like his own way, you know, like.
Yeah.
He's the chef.
I mean, if you listen to like the albums when they have the little skits, he's always referring to you as a god.
Mm-hmm.
You know, god, 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 god. You know, he's preaching to you, man.
Right.
You know, he's spitting street knowledge.
Street
to you.
Knowledge, that 5%er shit again.
You know,
like I'm saying, like he was the one. Like him and Ghost, especially, just had that lingo. But Only Built for Cuban Links. The purple tape, so they call it, because back in the day, remember, it was in a purple tape. Like, that is, like I said, Liquid Swords has to be my favorite solo album by any Wu member, and then Only Built for Cuban Links is just, it's right there. It got, if it's not a clear tie, you know, like, those are, because the RZA did all the production on that. Again, the grimy shits, that grimy production's all over that.
Yeah.
Ice Cream, remember Ice Cream?
Oh, yeah.
Here's a weird little tidbit, too. Alicia Keys is a backup dancer in the Ice Cream video.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Thanks for the knowledge.
Yeah, man, she is. She's there. Remember? I mean,
yeah, and met the man. He said, you know, the way he was explaining the ice cream flavors is all the flavors of the women out there.
That's right.
You know,
we love them all.
Love them all.
We love them all. He was always the best for the hook. Ain't
it? Oh, yeah.
And we'll get to Method Man. We're going to finish with him, but RZA always said, he's like, all the women, they always loved Method Man. They always did, and he didn't even realize it. He's like, but that's why I always made sure he did the hooks. Like, I knew he was the hook guy. I knew he was the chorus guy.
Yeah.
And they're like, why? He's like, because all the ladies loved them.
Yeah, he was supposed to be like the so-called heartthrob or whatever.
Mm-hmm. I know. And
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So there you go. Now we're going to move on to You God, Golden Arms. You know, man, You God was my favorite rapper out of the whole group when Triumph came out with the video. There was something about his bars. There was something about the fact that he was in, like, maybe all black leather. There's just something about him that really caught my attention, you know, and I really wasn't into Wu like that when I was younger. But, you know, Lamont Hawkins, born in 1970. He's another Brooklyn cat, but he was living in Staten Island. He's on Baby Grande Records, which is pretty cool. Watching old Method Man interviews, he always referred to him as like a psychopathic thinker, you know, and no disrespect to You God at all, but he's probably the most gangster out of the group. You know, he's pretty crazy. I mean,
yeah, he was always that cat in the back.
Yeah, he's, you know, that cat, I mean? But he was the 4-bar killer.
Yeah.
You God, Golden Arms, 4-bar killer. Like, those are his three different aliases, because You God could kill every rhyme in 4 bars. And I think a lot of it has to do with how powerful his voice was.
Oh, yeah, man. He was like the Hannibal Lecter of them all. You know what I mean? This dude just, he heard that beat and just ate it.
His name came from Kid with the Golden Arms, which was a kung fu movie. So then he switched it up to You God, which is short. This is a 5% nation thing, again, like we said, which is a righteous name for universal God Allah, or Allah, you know, so...
I did not know that.
Yeah.
You know, I should have done a little bit more digging in the crates with this.
So here's some stuff, too, with 36 Chambers. I remember this much. You had You God, Master Killa, and Killa Priest, okay? They were all incarcerated at the same time, but they're all on Protection Act.
Yeah.
Except Killa Priest. And the reason being was because they were all incarcerated, but they were all released at a different date. So RZA's doing the track. But remember, You God started it off.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah.
Remember? I'm like cocaine straight from Bolivia. My hip-hop will rock and shock the nation like the Emancipation Proclamation.
Yeah.
So when he came out, RZA's just like, go right now. So that's how You God really became a part of the Wu-Tang. And then Masta Killa was incarcerated, but he came out too. And Homicide, I can't think of it. Homicide is a penalty. Remember that verse?
Yeah. I'm
sorry. Sorry, Masta Killa. But... you know, but seriously, but then Killa Priest kind of got screwed, so he was never apart because he was still locked up.
Yeah,
because those are the only two tracks that You Got a Master Killer, or the only one track You Got a Master Killer on.
Yeah,
on 36 Chambers. So what happened was when GZA came out with Liquid Swords, he was able to jump on the GZA's solo album on the last track, which is called Bible, but they have a period in between each thing, and it's called the basic instructions
before leaving Earth.
Yeah. So that's where he got his chance to shine, but he kind of got snuffed out, you know? So it sucks for you, Killa Priest, but you're a dope MC, man.
Yeah, keep doing what you're doing, man.
It's all about timing, right? I mean, and he wasn't there. Now we'll go to Ghostface Killa.
Yes.
And I can't say enough about this man, but go ahead, Comer. Let's go into some Ghostface, man. What do you have to say about Ghostface?
Ghostface, man. You are a rap god to me. This dude, I mean, you can take any old Motown beat and this guy will destroy a track. You know, like Iron Man. Multiple songs in there. I mean, Touch My Heart. You know, All That I Got Is You. You know, that song made me tear up the first time I heard it, because that's how it was, bro. That's how I grew up, you know, coming from a broken home, you know, and seeing and living with cousins and uncles and going from home to home. I understand that, you know. Iron Man was my album. You know, big ups to you, Ghostface. I mean, I have so much to say about you. And like Joe would say, this is a whole podcast on just Ghost. You know, but the lyrical the lyricism. Man, just do you walk around with a dictionary with you, man? Because this dude is ridiculous.
He's just nonstop. He's nonstop, man. He's just a genius. Like I said, he is by far, in my opinion, the best solo Wu-Tang artist since he dropped. You know, since he did his first album until right now, he's done all kinds of cool collaborative stuff.
Man,
he just never stops.
I mean, him and Raekwon, you know, Raekwon and Capadonna, you know, was most featured on Iron Man, and you know, and all three of you put together is like a trinity. That was like
it's like a hip hop blessed trinity.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you know,
people become speechless, you know, and you got to start talking about Ghostface because
I mean, even now I'm speechless now trying to talk about Ghostface.
You know, he always had that great loud, fast, high pitched voice, and then it always had like this emotional stream of consciousness and like his narratives. Like in a combination of his slang and everything, it was just perfect. Like everything about Ghostface is Ghostface, if that makes any sense. Like,
yeah, I mean,
you know what I mean?
There's self-explanatory, pretty much.
Yeah, you know, like his storytelling.
I mean,
there's no one that's better. Like he is rap's finest storyteller.
Oh yeah,
I mean
yeah,
Biggie's there and shit, but like throughout the years because he's still with us. Yeah. There's not a better storyteller, man.
A raconteur, you know what I mean? It's speechless. And I mean,
like go ahead.
Like with his street credibility, you're gonna walk around with a 18-pound.
Yeah, let's talk about his wrist medallion
that
again.
Wrist eagle. I mean, you can walk around in some of the hardest streets, and nobody's gonna mess with you because you're Ghostface Killer. You are Ghostface Killer. You are. Ghostface Killer.
Tony Starks. That's his only other alias, is AKA Tony Starks or Iron Man. You know, he's got that whole Iron Man millionaire superhero thing going on there.
Good old Dennis Coles, man.
Right, that is. That's his real name, Dennis Coles.
I don't mean to say your name like that, man. I hope you don't take any disrespect if you're listening, but you are Ghostface Killer.
But another thing, too, like he's a compulsive storyteller in his rhymes, and he's really... How could I say this? Like, as far as I always use this reference, but throwing the paint on the canvas, he's really good at that as an MC with his storytelling.
Yeah.
You know, like, he can make me feel like I'm walking through the streets or on a drug deal with him. You know, like, he's
fish scale, man.
Fish scale, yeah.
You know, big ups to people in Gary, Indiana, you know, walk around in them streets listening to fish scale. You know, it's like, it's going on.
Let's get into the beef, though, a little bit, Comer, because I know you want to.
Let's do it.
Action Bronson, an MC who's very popular nowadays. He has his own cooking show, whatnot. He sounds basically exactly like Ghostface when he flows, from the high pitch to painting the story and all that stuff. He, unfortunately, was on an ESPN show, and I think... Playing devil's advocate here, I think Action Bronson was sick of the comparison. So he was on ESPN and they're like, yeah, man, yeah, so people say you sound a lot like Ghostface. He goes, nah, Ghostface sounds like me. So that opened up this huge can of worms, correct?
You got to respect your elders, man. You have to respect your elders.
Can't say
and
that
like,
shit.
And like when he, I forgot what song, but he was like, I imitated No Man. I was like... You know, it's kind of a teeth grinder, you know, because me being a Ghostface fan.
It's cringeworthy. It's just cringeworthy.
Yeah. You know, because up until that point, and when Papa Wu put him in his place, you know, I have respect for the dude because he was somebody that was spitting what I like. The beast was something that I like, you know, because it was something familiar.
Yeah,
you know,
it sounded like Ghostface.
Exactly, right. Exactly. You know what I mean? You know, so you know, I still like him.
I still like Action.
Oh yeah, me too, man. Cool. I love listening to this cast music, but
don't say he's trying to sound like me. I don't even care if you're joking. Don't talk like
that. Yeah. You got to respect your elders, man.
Yeah,
I mean, please respect your elders, especially.
So I remember when this happened. Ghostface took it really, really personal.
Oh.
He was not. Ghostface didn't subscribe to the what is that? The four agreements. Everybody, please Google the four agreements. And the first one is never take anything personal. Ghostface did not take that personal. And remember, he did the Teddy Pendergrass shit. Yeah, was playing in the back.
Yeah, he was in it.
And he's in his own living room, and he's talking about killing him, basically. Like, hey, man, you better respect your elders. Like, he's grabbing his nuts and, like, the pistols in the background. Like, you know, you don't even know. Like, he's like, I got goons. We'll find you. Like, he took it to heart.
I mean, this guy has been rapping for over 25 years. You know, I mean, you know, the anniversary's coming up.
Yeah.
You know, 25 years. Wu-Tang Clan, 25 years.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's crazy.
It is crazy.
I mean, a 9-man group.
I know.
25 years, that's insane in the hip-hop world. That is insane in the hip-hop world,
it
man.
Is.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean...
When they say forever, it means it.
It means it, it yeah.
Means it. Wu-Tang
I mean,
forever
even if
means
they
it.
Had their little personal beefs, it's Wu-Tang forever. These men have put a stamp on multiple record labels.
Mm-hmm.
And the Wu stamp is worldwide and beyond. If you don't know that symbol, you're asleep.
Yeah, you are
or
asleep.
Or dead.
Or you're just like that later millennial that only likes like Katy Perry or some shit.
Yeah,
I'm being mean right now, but you know, like, yeah, if you don't know what's up with Wu-Tang, just don't talk to us.
Exactly. I mean,
right.
Like bold statement, Joe.
Bold statement, right?
That's
some music snob shit, but especially hip hop. Like, come on, man.
I mean, like I said, man, when I first heard, you know, Protecting that popped my cherry in a, you know. To a whole new world of hip hop,
right.
You know, it wasn't the gangsta, and it wasn't conscious. It was a just you threw them in a blender with some Wu-Tang like, martial arts samples,
yeah,
and voila,
yeah, and they even were spitting like a karate move, you know, like you had to move this way, you had to move that way. It was just coming at you from multiple,
yeah, and with multiple the, with the sound effects of the sword,
yeah,
and almost everything,
yeah, how the wrist always threw that in,
yeah, you know, it's like that, it's stapled into your brain, you know, it was like branded into your brain, you know, it's like whenever you heard that. That
ching,
swish,
ching, 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 ching. Yeah.
That's Wu-Tang.
That's Wu-Tang. That is Wu-Tang.
Who else could it be except for a martial arts movie?
So going back, though, to the whole little beef with Action Bronson and Ghostface, I think he did apologize eventually, and that was probably a good thing. Like you said, I don't know whose funeral it was. No disrespect. Sorry about that, whoever's listening. But Papa Wu literally pulled Action Bronson to the side and put him in check.
Yeah.
To do that to another man at a funeral, that's how serious that particular clan is and how they look out for each other, and I respect that.
Yeah.
I respect that. And no disrespect to whoever the man was that they were burying at the time. It was another MC from New York, and I can't remember off the top of my head, but to pull this younger dude to the side, say, you don't do that.
Yeah.
And it ended it, because Papa Wu, like, I'm digressing a little bit. Papa Wu is Papa Wu. He put it all together. He was their manager, their road manager.
Yeah.
He looked out for all of them throughout all the years, every member, you know. And when Papa Wu speaks and he calls you out, you fucking listen.
It's a must.
That's it.
You know, and like the whole Wu-Tang and Killer Army and beyond, you know, these guys are like a union.
They are a union. Yeah.
You know, it's a union.
Yeah.
They're brothers protecting brothers.
Yeah.
And that's
respect your elders, like you said earlier.
Yeah.
50 Cent came at GZA back in the day, you know, and I remember when that happened. I've still to this day lost all respect for 50 Cent, like, forever.
Sorry, Curtis.
I'm sorry. I did. Like, you don't come out. I think it's all over now. I mean, whatever, but.
Yeah, but
you don't talk about the genius. You don't talk about the GZA like
that. No, especially a man that's going to out-rap you any day.
Right.
Any day of the week, this guy will be asleep and body you.
All right, let's move on now, though, to Method Man. We're going to Method Man because I know that's probably your favorite. Is he your favorite member, if you had to say?
Like I said, man,
I
can't say who's my favorite because these brothers have impacted my life, you know, since I was a young buck, you know, starting off with Protect Your Neck, the first time I heard him on Yo MTV Raps, you know, like I said, it was a whole new, I don't even know what to say, you know, it was just brand new.
What's your favorite solo album by him, Tikal?
Tikal, yeah, Tikal, man, yeah, Tikal, this album, he talks so much shit, excuse my French.
No, you're right.
But it's hilarious. It's funny. I mean, in all seriousness, you know, this dude put on a performance that got the audience, you know,
got him going, got him.
Oh
moving.
Yeah, it got you moving. You know, he made you laugh, he made you think, you know, made you scratch your head, you know. And my favorite part of the album is he's like. I forgot which song it was, but he's like, "I'm gonna cut your eyelids off and keep feeding sleep you. Pills."
Yeah. and feeding you. Yeah, I was on 36 Chambers.
That was on 36 Chambers, but the one on Tikal when he says, "I'm gonna cut your eyelids off and feed you nothing but sleeping pills." I laughed so hard. You know, I was a young buck. And speaking of Tikal, you know, when I was younger, the song All That I Got Is You, before, you know, Mary J. Blige was in it, you know, this was on your album, you know, this was your LP. That's the time I met my wife. You know, we was about 13, 14 years old. And oh, wow. Yeah, she was my brother's best friend, you know, because my brother, he's a choreographer, you know, they dance together and whatnot. And I went to go see my brother and his dance group perform. And I took my brother to the side, and I was like, "Man, who's that girl over there?" And he was like, "Oh, that's just Angie." I was like, "What you mean, just Angie?" I was like, "Look at her." I was like, "This girl is a goddess."
Right.
You know, I told him, "Watch, one day I'm gonna marry her." And what? Almost 20 years later, here we are, right, married, man. Married, cool. Two kids.
Awesome. Oh, congratulations. It's awesome. Yeah.
Thank you, Tikal.
Yeah.
Not the man. Right. I love you.
It's a very
yeah, you know, I mean, personal. I mean, you know, that personal, you know?
Very personal. But so we'll move on to that. So Comer, a little quick little interview here. How do you think you found Wu-Tang? Like, how did it happen? When did it happen? Where did it happen? Do you think it came to you? Like, like personal, like, you know, a personal story when you were a kid? Was that the main one, or?
No, the main one was Protect Your Neck was, you know, I forgot how old I was. That was like 1994.
Right.
Watching Yo MTV Raps. My mom was at work, you know, and I heard that song, Protect Your Neck, and it was just like a breath of fresh air from everything else I was listening to, you know, because, you know.
At the age of 10 or 11, but
yeah,
I agree. I know. Yeah, I remember.
You know what I mean?
I was into it. What is this?
I was like, oh my God, this is just like the first time hearing the Beatles, you know, back in the 60s, you know, some young buck listening to the Beatles, and I was like, oh my God, what is this?
Right.
That's how it was to me with the Wu-Tang Clan.
What does the Wu-Tang Clan mean to you personally?
What they mean to me, man, is unity.
Okay,
you know,
I agree with that.
You see these cats that have been together 25 years coming up, mm-hmm. you know, and still going strong, and they started, you know, from New York, and now look at you. I mean, you're stamped on a globe.
Right. I like that. I like that statement, because I agree with you. They mean unity, like, from a universal sense, and I'll break it down into the only time I got to see them live, which was like 10 years ago at the House of Blues. And, you know, hip hop more so than maybe any other genre. This is a bold statement, but I'm going to say it because I don't care. It brings everyone together.
Yeah, it does.
Every creed, every religion, all that shit. And I was able to experience that at a Wu-Tang show at the House of Blues. And when you go to the House of Blues in Chicago, they have this really cool thing on top of, I would say, the ceiling, but like somewhat above the stage, where it shows every religion, you know, like every religious symbol.
Okay.
You know, so I had like this crazy moment watching Wu-Tang, looking around me, seeing all shapes and sizes
and creeds
and creeds of yeah. whatever of human being. And then I mean, looked up and I saw that. I'm like, yeah, I get it. Like, this is a universal language. Hip hop is a universal language, and it is all about unity.
Yes,
you know, so
is.
I had like a really, really huge impact on me, especially live, because everybody was just into it and just into their zone, and I'll never forget that moment. So
yeah, I mean, this Wu-Tang Clan impacted so many lives,
right?
You know, just because of their different beats and offbeat lyrics, and you know, it was, like I said, it was a breath of fresh air.
Yeah, for sure. How has Wu-Tang inspired you to create different things as an artist? Like, is there any art, like, have they, you know, influenced you to create different types of art?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I'm doing something for you guys. Right on. Thanks to the Wu.
Yeah.
You know.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, no, thank you for letting me be here and talk about this, man. This is an awesome experience. But yeah, you know, the Wu W just alone, man, it's been in so many different graffiti art forms. I just had a tattoo cover up, which was a Wu W, unfortunately.
Why'd you cover it up?
It was just too small.
Call him out, RZA. Call him out if you're listening to this.
I mean,
we'll give you his Twitter handle.
Man, I'll give you my address. Come kick my ass. Yeah. You know,
just come over. We'll hang out.
Yeah. You know, do what we do.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, it was a very small tattoo, and I'm trying to cover at least 90% of my body.
Right on.
You know, from neck down to my toes. So you know, it's a long work in progress, and unfortunately, I had to cover up because it was just too small. You know, I mean, it was a little piece.
Right.
You know.
Now, another question. You talked a little bit about the Ghostface song. What was it called?
All That I Got Is You on Iron Man.
On Iron Man. Are there any other times where you know, Wu-Tang got you through some dark experiences? Is there anything you'd like to talk about?
So Simple, you know. You know, when the RZA came out and done the first first verse, you know, he was talking, my father was a fiend since 16, shooting that shit in his dope
his bloodstream.
In his bloodstream, yeah. You know, my father was a fiend. So I can relate with that. You know, so that it was close to home. You know, I seen that shit.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah, I grew up in Holbert. You know, it's a nice town, but you know, I got a dark background, son.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's dark before, you know, I came to light.
Right.
Right. You know, and All That I Got Is You by Ghostface, Iron Man. You know, just that whole track, you know, just brought me up to, you know, in my whole childhood, you know. I remember sleeping on pallets in the floor because all the cousins was there, aunts and uncles was living there. You know, and if you didn't, if it was dinner time and it was time to eat and you wasn't there, hey, here you go, here's some toast. This is what we got for you, man. You know?
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, you know, every time I hear certain songs by the Wu, I tear up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I thank you guys for acknowledging, you know,
the struggle.
Yeah, the struggle, you know, cats like me, cats like, you know, the stuff that you guys been through, you know, it's crazy, you know, but
Right on.
You know, we move forward. We got, you know, we're stronger now.
Yeah.
You know,
like, we got that PMA, like, that positive mental attitude. That's all we can have.
Yeah. You know,
and the RZA and especially all Wu, they always reflect back on that, or they promote that as well.
You got to know where you come from. You have to know where you come from. You know, I come from a broken home. My mom, you know, she got out of it. You know, she left my father, and you know, got us together. It got us out of all that, you know. My mom, she's a strong woman for doing what she had to do,
okay.
You know. And she raised me to be a strong man.
Cool.
You know. Now I'm a union man. You know, I make good money for my family. You know, so my family don't see what I had to go through.
Right.
You know, my wife, you know, she had a pretty decent life. You know. You know, so she don't know the struggle, but I do, and I do not. Excuse me. Mm-hmm. I do not want that for my family.
Right on.
So
cool. Well, so thank you for sharing that, man.
Yeah, for sure.
Seriously, thank you for sharing that. Sretton, let's transition into hate mail. What do we got?
Lighten the mood.
We'll lighten the mood. Yeah, we'll go from that. You know,
thanks, man.
That heavy stuff. Thank you for sharing that. But now we're gonna clown on ourselves for receiving these hate mails because people hate.
Hey, man.
But it is what it is.
Yeah, it is what it is.
Bring it. Bring the hate mail. What do we got?
All right, ready.
All right.
Dear Joe, and I guess Sretton too. That's right off the bat. First of all, I really like the podcast. It keeps me sane during my drive home from work. I usually listen on Tuesday after work, and then I make some playlists based on what you and Anthony Fantano are talking about. And I listen to that music the rest of the week. I like metal. You like metal. I like hip hop. You like hip hop. I like punk. You like punk. I hate Dave Matthews. I hate Stratton.
I hate Stratton. Well, that damn, that was mean. They said they hated you?
Yeah, this is a local person.
Wow.
We're not anyway, going to call him out. But
I have a few quick questions. Number one, does Stratton have bad breath? His voice sounds like he has bad breath.
He does sometimes, but we all do.
Two, I've listened to every episode, especially the ones with the guy named Juice. He yells a lot. That makes me think he spits into the mic a lot. How often do you replace the mics, and how bad does a mic that Juice uses smell?
I don't know. I haven't sniffed it. Have you got up and took a whiff or a whiff?
No, I don't.
That would be gross. But we all have our own colors.
I replace them frequently. What's number three? I heard Morrissey wipes back to front.
Well, people are always hating on Morrissey, you know, but it's all right. That's my homie. So
that's so stupid.
Forget. No, it was good. Whoever this is, we'll send him a T-shirt.
Number four, of all the reasons to stop a concert, and this guy has a bunch, I heard Morrissey once walked off stage because the front row of the audience noticed one of his breasts was lactating. Is that true?
No, I don't think so, because he doesn't eat meat. So
you know the deep cuts.
So I know deep cuts on Morrissey. Things. He's not a meat eater, so if he were lactating, it would just be pure, unadulterated, organic vegan juice.
I guess it was one more. Number five, I heard that before you got into experimental hip-hop, you were really into Nick Cannon's hip-hop. Is that true? I heard you used to collect America's Got Talent t-shirts. Is that true?
I don't even know who Nick Cannon is.
Yeah,
I kind of do. I kind of do.
Yeah, sure you do.
I kind of do. I'm trying to be too cool for school here.
America's
but...
Got Talent t-shirts in every
Comer,
color.
Comer, do you listen to Nick Cannon? Do you celebrate his entire catalog?
Oh, no.
All right, good.
I just knew him as an actor and the guy that was married to Mariah Carey. I don't know much else about him.
Didn't he beat her up, or was that someone else?
No.
I don't know.
All right. No, I don't listen to Cannon.
So that's it. Says, that's true. Haters. That's it for now. I really dig the podcast. Rob from Maryville, Indiana. So a local person.
Oh, thanks, Rob.
Yeah, thanks for writing, Rob.
Thanks for writing, Rob.
You don't have to write hate. You can make fun of me, but you don't have to put hate.
It's all
I'm a super
fun.
Nice dude.
It's all in fun.
But yes, I never have bad breath, and Juice always has bad breath.
Does
just
he?
To clarify.
Does he?
No.
Justin Wallace, get a Tic Tac.
He always smells crystal clean.
But man, you make me want to smell the microphone after this.
Yeah, it is.
Like,
I'm smelling my microphone right now. It smells good.
You take that thing home as a souvenir.
It smells. Put that in your back pocket, Coma. But at any rate, Comer, thanks for coming on. I always like to close the podcast out with Meditate on This. And this is how we're going to meditate on this. The Wu-Tang Clan has always taught me a hard work ethic. So everybody, I think, well, actually, everyone should remember to whatever it is that you do, focus on that and work your best at that and use the Wu-Tang as, you know, a model of hard work and it will pay off.
Like,
you know,
like the RZA, the 5-year plan, and that 5-year plan, look at him.
Right.
I mean, it's ridiculous what these men achieved.
Yeah, I mean, and problems will come and like, you know, throughout life when we talk, when we think, but instead speak your own words and what you want and you will manifest that, you know, like that'll come. So just be positive. It's always we're always throwing out that PMA, that positive vibe, but
yeah,
you know, that hard work ethic is where it's at. It's a working class thing, and Wu-Tang and the RZA and the whole thing, like, it's a perfect example of that. You know, have those plans. Like, as cliche as it is, wake up and have a goal for the day, or, you know, at the new year, have your 5 or 10 plan goal. So everybody meditate on that. Stay positive. Comer, thanks for coming out.
Oh, thank you.
You know, we'll have you again for sure.
Awesome.
Right on, man. Thanks,
dude.
Adios. I'm musically meditated.
That's right.
I'm musically meditated. That's right. I'm musically meditated. Thank you.
Producer my ass over there.